Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
This is Barbecue Nation After Hours, the conversation that took place after the show ended.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody, welcome to the lightning round here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne Whippin, and we've got, how about this, Matt? Matt Abadabadu with us.
I better don't do it.
And Shane McBride. I did it so you wouldn't have to, kid. So there you go. This is the part of the show where we just ask really irrelevant and irreverent questions. And some goofy shit, too, because you can swear in this part. It doesn't go over the radio. There you go.
This is where I shine.
How long did it take you guys? This is kind of a rudimentary question here, but how long did it take you guys when you were really trying to start getting into barbecue? This before the restaurant was open. But not to quote unquote peek under the lid.
Oh man. Not too long. I was pretty good at that.
I wasn't. I'm very impatient.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
That's the one thing I've learned in barbecue is patience is key.
I mean, you certainly, everyone's heard the slogan, if you're looking, you ain't cooking, you gotta right. And just like let it do its thing. But I mean, it took me a little bit to just be like, Matt, leave it alone. Go have a beer, like walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the biggest thing you guys think individually you've learned so far? You came out of the restaurant business, but as we've all established, barbecue restaurants are a little different from being classically trained chefs into what you're doing now with grills and smokers and stuff. But what's the biggest thing you think you've learned so far?
It's been a lot.
It's still the same. It's kind of good in, good out. That's a big part of what we do. I've also learned that when you're at a barbecue competition and you're hanging out with large barbecue guys,
don't try to keep up with drinking them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I can't keep up with Leanne. So. Well, yeah, she's got that classic glass there. It's Ralph Lauren. I mean, come on. Right. You know, I get Red Solo cups out here on the coast. So, you
Nothing
know,
wrong we do with that.
If this is one for each of you, Matt and Shane, if you could work with one of your barbecue heroes, and I know you've worked with quite a few of them, but if you could work with one of them, who would it be?
Tuffy Stone. I love Tuffy.
Tuffy's awesome.
That I like that answer, Shane. Just point. I like that.
I'm the same.
Okay. What is the best day for either of you? And you can both answer this. Contained for activities away from the restaurant.
Monday.
No, I mean, but what do you like to do?
I don't think that was the question, Chef.
Can you clarify that question?
Yeah. What do you do on your day off if you get a half a day or 3 hours, whatever you get time off?
This is my perfect day for fun on a day off on a month. It's usually a Monday.
Right.
Is I get to wake up in the morning, take my son to the park, go get him a donut somewhere, and then we get pizza for dinner, and then afterwards some ice cream. That's just like
Can I come live with you?
Yeah. Yes. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty nice over there.
I'm just gonna have to pick your brain about some barbecue stuff. That's all.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm an open book when it comes to that. What about you, Shane?
I have a terrible collecting habit. So if there's a flea market or an antique market,
I have a terrible
collecting habit. Or a liquor store that I haven't been to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go look for pretty much.
So Matt,
some of the greatest things about our barbecue trips have been Shane being like, ooh, there's an antique store there. Or, hey, there's an awesome antique shop at this town that nobody's ever heard of that I somehow know about that I want to go and check out. You're like, what?
I totally agree with you. I actually had an antique. I rented a space in an antique mall, and the name of my company was Lee Antiques. I used to be totally into antiques.
Okay, I can't get enough of it.
God,
I go anywhere, we're always stopping into at least one to two antique stores.
It's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what he says it is. Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, but my wife and I owned an antique store for a while. Things were a little slow in the broadcasting business. This is 25 years ago. So she said, I'm going to start an antique store. Of course, I wrote the checks for it, but it was like, holy shit, look at all this stuff. I didn't even know we had this stuff.
I break his chops all the time. I'm like, you literally could open up a store with just the stuff you have in your house, not even including the stuff you have in storage units, just the stuff you have in your house. You could start your own antique shop.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff.
So Shane, what's your most favorite piece that you have to date that you just will never let go of?
What are all those porcelain things that you find? The dog things. Yeah.
I have lots of really great Federal period furniture. My mom and I have a house in Charleston, South Carolina. And I've put everything that's in there as Southern that was made between 1820 and 1900.
Wow.
I have a great sugar chest there. Those are pretty rare. And I have some pretty special pieces of art that I would never get rid of.
Right.
When I buy art, it's either like Hudson Valley School, or I really enjoy finding food-centric art. So I have a ton of that.
Cool.
And it's spilled into the restaurants now. There's artwork in the restaurants.
I love that. Well.
On a scale, I
eat all my art.
You what? You eat your art?
I eat all my art. I go out and buy food. I just eat them.
I got it.
I just put it in my pile.
Okay. Do you remember what the first thing you ever grilled or smoked or barbecued was? Both of you?
First thing I ever barbecued was ribs. And I did it with our business partner, Rob Schauger, out on Long Island at his house. It was the first time that I'd been really exposed to seeing an offset cooker. I mean, never in my life had I seen a person have one in their home. And I was like, oh my God, you have one of these? This is insane. I had no idea how to use it. The first thing I certainly smoked were baby back ribs.
First thing I ever grilled was a hot dog. I was about six. And the first thing I ever smoked was a chicken.
There you go.
Both of them with my uncle, who was a chef as well.
You know, they had to smuggle that offset smoker into Long Island because nobody knew what it was. It could have been from another planet as far as
probably.
If we put your skills to music, what would the music be?
Oh, man, his would be Fish.
Yeah. Grateful Dead.
Mine would probably be Bon Jovi or Billy Joel, or like a Rocky album soundtrack. Probably
Yeah. And then you'd hear Billy Joel in the background singing Uptown Girl or something like that.
There you go.
Like that. Where's the worst place you ever had to cook? It can be a restaurant, a competition, a backyard barbecue with somebody.
I feel like we've had multiple opportunities for this. There was certainly a great story where Shane and I were cooking down at an event somewhere and
Pennsylvania. That one?
No, when we had to wheel all the ribs in to bring it up to your hotel room because the health inspector came as we were.
Health inspector showed up
to the kitchen that we were guest pit mastering in for an event. And they certainly weren't prepared to have like two Huskies with like two deep Lexans full of seasoned ribs. So like, you guys got to get out of here. And we're like, where do we go? And they gave us a dolly and she just took the wrist and
put them in the elevator
and brought them up to his hotel room until they were gone for us to put them on the cooker to smoke them.
That was funny. I've cooked in some fields before that were not optimal. That's for sure.
Memphis 2016, 2017, when it was like just a mud pit. That was not fun that year.
Memphis is a challenge every year, no matter what.
Yeah, I get it.
This year it was 100 degrees every day.
Yep. What, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much barbecue do you guys eat on a regular basis? Or do you still revert back to some of your classic training when you're cooking at home?
I'll probably eat barbecue for me and my family maybe once a week outside of like constantly tasting everything at the restaurant. Like if I'm home at my house, I'll fire up my little smoker that I have for my backyard and do like a shoulder or some ribs or something like that, maybe once a week, or chicken, a lot of chicken, smoked chickens.
Yeah, I smoke a lot of chicken too.
There you go. If I declared you supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you as supreme ruler decree?
That New Yorkers can cook good barbecue.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What's the worst concert you ever attended?
God.
And I know they have some crappy concerts once in a while in New York. So they had to have, because we have them here.
I went to a Phish concert when I was probably 18 or 19 years old in Vernon Downs Racetrack. And it was, again, like a mud pit, hot. It was like a multiple day concert. And it was just like muddy and hot and sweaty and smelly. The music was fine, but I'm by no means a Phish head like this guy is. So that was probably my least favorite concert I've ever been to.
I would say it was...
Shane was probably also at that concert. Yeah, I was probably. And I probably didn't even know.
Dylan in the middle of the 90s in South Florida. Really bad show.
Really?
Yeah, Alison Krauss opened up for him, and she was phenomenal. And he just stunk the joint up. Except his band. The band was incredible. He just wasn't on it.
Yeah. Huh.
And I've also seen Van Morrison do some really bad things.
Wow.
But those are alcohol induced.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to a Merle Haggard concert one time, and he could barely make it to the stage. Yeah. Okay. His band was great. I don't even remember who the warm-up act was, but they were great. Merle comes up there and he starts to sing one of his classics, like Okie from Muskogee or something like that. And all of a sudden he just kind of wanders around, goes back, and they had straw bales on the stage, and he sits down on the straw bale, and the band doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he breaks into Tulsa Time or some other weird song. and he just goes off on this riff for about 10 minutes. And then they kind of got him up and got him back to the mic, and it kind of blew everybody away on that. It was, I was at a few rock concerts, which I don't remember very clearly over the years, but
that was the problem. So some of those ones I just don't remember.
Yeah. I saw Blue Oyster Cult, the Doobie Brothers, and somebody else in Santa Barbara one time. That's what I know. So don't ask me how the concert was, but I remember that. Here's the one, Leanne. Have you ever cooked in your underwear in a thunder or snowstorm?
Inside or outside?
Outside.
No.
I've done it.
Well, maybe
not in a snow or thunderstorm, but certainly have cooked in my underwear.
Well, you know what? I have to retract my, for being from upstate New York, I've definitely gone out and grilled like steaks or chicken or hamburgers or hot dogs in my underwear during a snowstorm, for sure. I'm sure that's happened at some point. With a coat on, but in my underwear, like not totally.
Yeah, I get it. See, there's two honest guys there, Leanne.
I hear it. As Chris Lilly was too.
Well, very honest about that.
Yes.
Chris
has done that also in the elements.
Yeah. In fact, that was at the Jack, I think, wasn't it? Or something like that. They were cooking in a field and his son was there. He was in the back of the truck. Son was in the sleeping bag and the storm came in. And Chris told us the story. He was on the show a few weeks ago and they jumped up and they're running around in their underwear trying to, not let the cookers blow over in the tent and all this stuff. And they're out there.
Do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. Okay.
I saw Chris Lilly over the weekend at Memphis, and to see him hanging out with his grandkids is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty magical. Special.
Yeah.
Special.
They call him Chick Chick.
Chick Chick. Chick. Got to remember that.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris.
Your favorite movie. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Blues Brothers.
Attaboy. I like that.
Oh man. Favorite movie of all time. Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. You like the Rocky
Gladiator. Movie.
Yeah.
Or Top Gun.
Gladiator was good. I know this answer. Would you describe yourself as corn fed or grass fed?
corn fed.
Attaboy. Ford or Chevys?
I'm a Ford guy.
I'm a Ford guy.
All right.
I'm an Explorer.
Okay, here's a tough one for you. Captain and Tennille or the Allman Brothers?
Allman Brothers.
Whatever he said.
I like that. Hold on, we're almost done here. Oh, have you ever smoked an armadillo?
You ask that a lot because somebody just asked me that in Memphis.
Yeah.
I wish I lived in a region where I could find one to smoke one.
They're tough, let me tell you.
So when you say smoke, like when I ran one over, I smoked that armadillo.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what you're supposed to do, Shane, after you run one over? You got to get out of your car or your truck. You go over and you pick up the armadillo and you put them in a sitting position. And then you take your Lone Star bottle and wrap their little hands around it and you drive off. That's a thing in Texas.
Wow. I'll remember that.
Yeah. What's the dumbest thing you guys have ever seen? Not what you did, but dumbest thing you've ever seen with a grill or a smoker.
Oh my God. Cook, try to make barbecue without putting wood into it. It's probably
there you go.
There is a really bad issue of people not knowing how to light a grill up here.
Oh, he loves it. He loves watching people try to light charcoal. I love
watching people try to light charcoal. It's one of my favorite things. Because we'll go to a big giant events like New York City Food and Wine or South Beach Food and Wine. And everybody's got to cook in those big John grills, right? A big rectangle with a grill over it. And they give you a bag of charcoal and they always give you lighter fluid. And just to watch people try to figure out how to use those things is the crisis. My wife can do it. My wife can light charcoal with the best of them. She laughs at them now.
Is that one of those things where you just get a drink and sit back in the lawn chair?
He loves it. He'll even go as far to be like, hey Matt, give me the elbow, grab his beer, I'll like sit back in his chair and be like, watch. He's like, it's happening, watch.
Here we go.
Watch.
There you go. I like that. Okay, last question. Leanne might have some, but this is my last question. If you could dine with any two historical figures, live or dead, I don't care. We'll resurrect them for the dinner. But if you could have dinner with them, share some barbecue with them, who would those two historical figures be?
I'm ready.
Go. Fire.
Theodore Roosevelt and Jerry Garcia.
Now that would be a hell of a combination.
Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I think Jesus might be a cool guy to say, hey, what's going on? Tell me the real story.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd love to have my grandma back for a day and have another
meal. There you go. There you go. Okay. Shane, I do have to tell you something. I do a golf show too. And I had a guy on the golf show, and I have similar questions for the after hours thing on the golf show. And he was a deadhead. And he goes, yeah, the great thing about being a deadhead is because you never wanted to run out of a dope, because if you did, you found out how crappy the music really was. And
that's true. I won't argue with on that.
Okay. I have a framed deadhead picture in the cave, was what we called kind of the family room down at the end of the hall. And I stole it from a radio station, but I just thought it was a cool picture because Garcia was there. And I think Jerry Weir was with him that day or something. So, Bob Weir, excuse me. Anyway, Matt Abdu and Shane McBride from Pig Beach in New York, their new cookbook. It's the Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook. You guys have been great. I've had a lot of fun. I think Leanne has had a lot of fun.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys are awesome.
And I expect to see Shane on an episode of Hoarders very soon.
It might actually happen. That could actually happen. I might actually sign him up for it.
There you go. Guys, thank you. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you for your time. I know you guys are extremely busy, and congratulations on your success and everything you have coming down the road.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you're welcome back on the show anytime. I don't extend that invitation.
Careful what you wish for, because let us know.
That's okay. Do what? I'm sorry.
I had the face for radio. So
yeah, so do I. That's why I do it a lot. So you know, we could do the Shane and Jeff facial profile radio show or something. There you go.